Chapter 2, in which an old friend returns.
"Stop gopping, snailheads!"
Hogsqueal yelled.
"Help me!"
He was backed against a chimney, one hand holding his coat closed over a largish object, the other brandishing an empty slingshot menacingly. "Hogsqueal?" Jared grinned at the sight of the hobgoblin, then stopped with a scowl. "What are you doing here?" Simon was holding the griffin back, mostly by standing between him and Hogsqueal and yelling loudly. Byron turned his hawk head to the side and blinked, then pawed the ground with his talons as though he were more feline than bird. Jared suspected that Byron thought they were playing a new game. Hogsqueal hesitated, seeing Jared's face.
"I didn't know this was your house until the griffin showed up."
"You helped catch our mother?" Jared could feel his face growing warm. "Trash our house? Kill Simon's pets?" He took two steps toward Hogsqueal, hands fisting. He'd trusted Hogsqueal. He'd liked him. And the hobgoblin had betrayed them. Jared could barely think with the roaring in his ears.
"I didn't kill anything."
Hogsqueal opened his coat a little, revealing a marmalade ball of fur. "Kitty," Simon said, distracted by the sight of the kitten. In that moment, Byron lunged past Simon, catching the hobgoblin's arm in his beak.
"Ah!"
Hogsqueal screamed. The cat yowled, jumping onto the roof. "Byron, no!" Simon yelled. "Drop him!" The griffin shook his head, whipping Hogsqueal back and forth. The hobgoblin's shouts became louder. "Do something!" Jared called, panicked. Simon stepped up to the griffin and hit him hard on the beak with his hand. "No!" he shouted. "Oh, crap, don't do that," Mallory said, reaching for the sword at her waist. But instead of attacking, the griffin stopped shaking Hogsqueal and looked at Simon with something like alarm. "Drop him," Simon repeated, pointing to the slate roof. Hogsqueal struggled ineffectually, pushing his fingers into Byron's nose slits and trying to bite the feathery neck with his baby teeth. The griffin ignored the hobgoblin, but didn't make a move to put him down either. "Be careful," Jared told his brother. "Better he eats Hogsqueal than us."
"No! I'm sorry, Gobstoppers,"
Hogsqueal said, still writhing.
"I didn't mean it. Honest, get me out of here. Help!"
"Jared," Simon said, "grab Hogsqueal, okay?" Jared nodded, edging nearer. This close, he could smell the griffin. It had a feral scent, like a cat's fur. Simon put one hand on top of Byron's beak, the other on the bottom, and started to lever them apart, repeating, "Be a good boy. Yes, drop the goblin."
"Hobgoblin!"
Hogsqueal yelped. "Are you crazy?" Mallory hollered at her brother. The griffin turned his head abruptly in her direction, almost knocking Simon sprawling. "Sorry," Mallory said in a much smaller voice. Jared gripped Hogsqueal around the legs. "Got him."
"Hey, Yathner, we're not going to be playing tug-of-war with my body, right? Right?"
Jared just smiled grimly. Simon tried again to push Byron's beak open. "Mallory, come and help me. Grab the bottom of the beak and I'll get the top." She stepped carefully across the slanted roof. The griffin eyed her nervously. "When I say pull," Simon said, "pull." Together they tried to pry the griffin's jaws apart. Mallory's fingers slid into Byron's mouth as she strained, nearly hanging from the griffin, trying to use her weight against him. Byron struggled and then suddenly gave in, opening his mouth and dropping Hogsqueal's full weight into Jared's arms. Losing his balance, Jared slid backward on the shingles, letting go of Hogsqueal and scrabbling for a handhold. The hobgoblin slid as well, knocking loose the shingle Jared was gripping onto. Jared slipped and grabbed hold of the gutter moments before he would have fallen off the side of the house. Simon and Mallory looked at Jared with wide eyes. He swallowed hard. As they moved to haul him back onto the roof, Jared saw Hogsqueal make for the open window. "He's getting away," Jared said, trying to pull himself higher. His elbow dug into the dried leaves and mud that clotted the gutter. "Forget about the stupid goblin," Mallory said. "Grab hold of me." They hauled him back onto the roof. As soon as he was upright, Jared ran after Hogsqueal with Mallory and Simon close behind. They thundered down the stairs. Hogsqueal was sprawled in the hall outside their bedrooms, and yellow yarn was wrapping itself around him. Jared gaped as the yarn tied itself in a bow. Thimbletack hopped up on Hogsqueal's head.
I will help you fight the Fae. I believe I've a debt to pay.
Jared looked at the yarn and then back at Thimbletack. I didn't know you could do that. He remembered how his shoelaces had seemed to tie themselves together and suddenly had an explanation. The little brownie grinned.
Being unseen is not enough to get things clean.
Hey!
Hogsqueal yelled.
Get this crazy kipper off me! I wasn't running out on you! I was escaping from that tubby monster on the roof!
Shut up, Mallory said.
That goblin is not misunderstood, said Thimbletack. He is just plain no good.
That naughty brownie's a fine one to talk,
said Hogsqueal. You're going to tell us everything you know, or we're going to spread ketchup on you and put you right back up on the roof, said Jared. Right then, he was so angry that he meant every word of it. Thimbletack jumped down onto the leg of an overturned coffee table.
That would be overly kind to a goblin in a bind. No, we'll set rats to nibble off your toes, poke out your eyes, and put them up your nose. Your fingers we'll remove with dull scissors, and we'll wait until your confidence withers.
Simon paled but said nothing. Hogsqueal squirmed in his bindings.
I'll tell you already, Surly Boots. No need to threaten.
Where is our mom? Jared demanded. Where would they have taken her?
Mulgarath's lair is at the dump on the edge of town. He's built a palace of trash, and it's defended by his goblin army and by other things besides. Don't be a pumpkinhead. There is no way you can get in there.
What other things are defending it? Jared demanded.
Dragons,
Hogsqueal said.
Little ones, mostly.
Dragons? Jared repeated in horror. Arthur's field guide had notes on dragons, but Arthur himself had never seen one. All of his accounts were secondhand, but even secondhand, the stories were frightening. They described poisonous venom, teeth as sharp as daggers, and bodies that were as quick as whips. And you were part of Mulgarath's goblin army? Mallory asked, eyes narrowed.
I had to be,
Hogsqueal exclaimed.
Everyone was joining up. Where was I supposed to go, Chatterbasket?
What did you tell them happened to the other goblins, the ones you were with before?
Other goblins?
Hogsqueal said.
For the last time, Lilypants, I'm a hobgoblin. You might as well call a blackbird a crow.
Jared sighed. So, what did you say? Hogsqueal rolled his eyes.
What do you think, Beetle Guts? I said a troll ate him, simple as that.
If we untie you, will you take us to the dump? Mallory demanded.
Probably too late,
Hogsqueal grunted. What was that? Jared scowled.
Yes,
Hogsqueal said.
Yes, I'll take you. Are you happy, Snotters? Just as long as I don't have to see that griffin again.
But Jared, Simon said, a small smile twisting his mouth, it would be a lot faster if we flew.
Wait now, I didn't agree to that,
Hogsqueal exclaimed. We need a plan, Mallory said, stepping away from the hobgoblin and lowering her voice. How can we beat an army of goblins, a dragon, and a shape-shifting ogre? There has to be something, said Jared, following her. They must have a weakness. The pages of Arthur's guide that had once been so clear in his mind had faded, his memory growing increasingly spotty. He tried to concentrate, to remember anything that might be important. Too bad we don't have the field guide. Simon stared at the broken fish tanks, as though some answer could be found among the glass shards. But we know where Arthur is, said Jared carefully, a plan starting to form in his mind. We could ask him. Just how are you suggesting we do that? Mallory asked, one hand on her hip. I'm going to ask the elves to let me talk to him. Jared spoke as though that were a perfectly reasonable suggestion. Mallory's eyes widened with surprise. The last time we saw the elves, they weren't exactly what I would call friendly. Yeah, they wanted to trap me underground forever, said Simon. You have to trust me, Jared said slowly. I can do it. They promised that they wouldn't hold me there against my will ever again. I trust you, said Mallory. It's the elves I don't trust, and you shouldn't either. I'm going to come. Jared shook his head. There isn't enough time. Get Hogsqueal to tell you everything he knows about Mulgarath. I'll be back as soon as I can. He looked down at the little brownie. I'll bring Thimbletack, if he'll come. I thought it had to be just you, said Simon. I have to be the only human, Jared said, his eyes still fixed on Thimbletack.
I've not been out of the house in years.
With that, Thimbletack walked to the edge of the chair and let Jared put him into the hood of Jared's sweatshirt.
But I must put aside my fears.
They left before Simon or Mallory could talk them out of it. Crossing the street, they started up the hill toward the Elven Grove. The late morning sky had deepened to a bright cloudless blue, and Jared hurried, afraid that they didn't have much time.